Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. And because we have a Bhagavatam verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai. Seems we have a post-feast exit, so we understand that after such a grand festival, we are a little tired, but to keep with the schedule, we will read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, called The Process of Devotional Service. And just so that, because we only touch this once every week, just to give a lead up to this, what is going on in this chapter? Lord Chaitanya is speaking to his disciple, Sanatan Goswami, about devotional service. And he started with, first of all, in the previous chapter, what is our relationship with Krishna? What type of a relationship do we have? And this chapter is, how do we act on that relationship? What are the activities involved in a relationship or having a relationship with Krishna? And so that relationship is the process of devotional service. And throughout the beginning of this chapter, there was lots of explanations of the benefit of devotional service, what good it will do us. And then towards this part of the chapter, there was a whole description of all the different activities of devotional service, numbering 1 through 64. And then Lord Chaitanya focused on 5 very important processes of devotional service, which are called the Panchanga Bhakti, or that bhakti which is the most powerful branches of the devotional service. So they are living in Vrindavan, living in a holy place, associating with devotees, chanting the holy name of Krishna, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam, living in the Dham, I got that one, chanting the holy names, associating with devotees. One more. I'm supposed to come prepared, but you see, I forgot one. There is another one in there. It'll come to us. Krishna will help us. And then, after that, he starts saying what devotional service is not hampered by. And that's where we're coming up to today. So at first, he was saying, oh, and then just after the 5, he explained that you can do 1 of them, you can do 64 of them, you can do 2 of them, but it doesn't matter. If you do 1, you can attain perfection through that process. And then those things that don't hamper devotional service is his next subject. So even if we have some obligations that we may feel we have, that we have obligations to the forefathers or to the... and again, it's in different cultures, we have different obligations. In some cultures, there's a very systematic way to continue the obligations to forefathers and things like that, or to the sages, to the demigods. So devotional service, he proved, and he focused on that it was not... those are not important for devotional service. And the way Lord Chaitanya does this, and throughout a lot of his teachings, and you can see that again and again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he'll make a statement, and then he'll follow up that statement with proofs from the scriptures, from the various, from the Bhagavatam mostly, but from Puranas and from other places. So last week, you started where we're... our verse today, text 144, is the proof of his last statement. So I thought I would just read the last statement before we go into that verse. He says, and this is 2 statements he's making about if somebody would engage in something that is not favorable to devotional service, or even to the point of what we would consider, or somebody would consider, a sinful activity. And so he made 2 statements on that. And he says, although the pure devotee does not follow all the regulative principles of Vanashram, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna, therefore he has no tendency to commit sin. But if a devotee accidentally becomes involved in a sinful activity, Krishna will purify him. And they don't have to undergo the regulative principles of atonement. So this is the topic that this temple is currently focusing on in the Srimad Bhagavatam classes. And this has been, over the last month or so, this has been again and again discussed of If a devotee makes a mistake, what is their position? How do they atone? How do they rectify? And so, I won't go too much into the details of that. But those were the two statements of Lord Chaitanya prior, and then today's first verse, which has no purport. It is from the chapter 5 of the 11th canto, and I'll just read the translation. One who has given up everything and taking full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, it is very dear to Krishna. If he is involved in some sinful activity by accident, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, removes his sins without difficulty. So again, no purport here. And this topic has been thoroughly discussed in the Bhagavatam classes, so I won't spend a lot of time. But I would like to bring 2 points of the emphasis that Prabhupada is giving here. Because in the word for word in the translation, there is no giving everything up. But Prabhupada is giving that here. He's making it very important that if you are going to claim to want to be rectified of sin, we must give up everything. And what is the everything? So that will be different for every person. What is that everything we must give up so that we don't sin again? And so it may have been a position. It may have been an outside influence. It may have been so many different factors that caused somebody to have that accident. And so one must give those things up so that it doesn't happen again. And then at that point, then it becomes very easy because for one who has done that, and what is the pivot there? The pivot is one who has swapadamulam, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That means not just a one-time act, but that act is a continual process of surrender and supplication and action also. There's kriyatam, there is activity involved in that taking shelter, then Krishna becomes very favorable to that person and helps them. So then now, today's verse, second verse, 145, Lord Chaitanya speaks on another thing that devotional service isn't stopped or hampered by. So the first was, it's not stopped or hampered by, even if a sinful activity would happen, devotional service can still take part and Krishna will help in that. So now in today's verse, which is a purport, so we will chant this one together. And I will have a hard time with the Bengali, so I apologize. Jnana vairagya di bhaktira kabu nahe anga. Ahimsa yama niyama di bule Krishna bhakta sangha. We will just, that's good enough. I won't subject you to more of my bangla. The word for forward, jnana, the path of knowledge, vairagya adi, the path of renunciation, and so on. Bhaktira, of devotional service, kabu, at any time, nahe, not, anga, apart, ahimsa, non-violence, yama, controlling the senses and the mind, niyama, adi, restrictions and so on, bule, roam, Krishna Bhakta Sangha, in the association of a devotee of Lord Krishna. Translation, the path of speculative knowledge and renunciation is not very essential for devotional service. Indeed, good qualities such as non-violence and mind and sense control automatically accompany a devotee of Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes a neophyte devotee or ordinary person thinks highly of speculative knowledge, austerity, penances, and renunciation, thinking them the only path for advancement in devotional service. Actually, this is not a fact. The path of knowledge, mystic yoga, and renunciation has nothing to do with the pure soul. When one is temporarily in the material world, such processes may help a little, but they are not necessary for a pure devotee of Krishna. In the material world, such activities end in material enjoyment or merging into the effulgence of the Supreme. They have nothing to do with the eternal loving service of the Lord. If one abandons speculative knowledge and simply engages in devotional service, he has attained his perfection. The devotee has no need for speculative knowledge, pious activity, or mystic yoga. All these are automatically present when one renders the Lord transcendental loving service. Om agena tamarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurunmanitam yena tasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam tadati svapanantikam namaste girirajaya shri govardhana namaneya shesha klesha nashaya paramananda dayene Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasaranandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapavani Tulsi Vancha Kalpa Churubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this verse, Lord Chaitanya is changing the subject slightly. And this, coming to a close of this section on devotional service in practice or Vaidhi Bhakti, very soon, in a verse or two, he will then finish the chapter focusing on Raghunuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service. So here, and what we hear again and again throughout the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, all these different Bhakti Shastras, we hear again and again how devotional service is not dependent upon anything else. And this becomes also very clear in the Bhagavad Gita, where other processes of perfection are also kind of looked at and explained. The first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called the Karma Yoga, you know, how to work, how to act. And there's mixed in some dhyana yoga, some meditation and things like that. But that is all more or less for a name of some sustenance, some activity. And then the last six chapters of Bhagavad Gita are focused on jnana yoga, understanding through knowledge and things like that. So jnana vairagyadi, it says, starts here, that this jnana or vairagya renunciation, these two pieces, they're not so important in the practice of devotional service. However, to do jnana yoga or karma yoga, you must have bhakti, which is quite astonishing. We say you don't need them for bhakti, but for them to actually be successful, you must have some bhakti in there. Therefore, you will find, you know, in all the different throughout the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Krishna is putting the true jnana yoga, true karma yoga for us to analyze. And he's always inserting himself in there, that you must, has to be for me. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. You know, and again he's saying, do it as an offering to me. And then, although it's work, yes, we must work, we must be active, we're active persons. We must do activity, karmas, we have to do that to survive. But we're doing it with the bhakti infused. But here, speaking more on devotion itself, Lord Chaitanya is saying that devotion to Krishna is not dependent on those, whereas those are very much dependent on bhakti to succeed. And so this first of all highlights the wonder and the beauty of devotional service. And Prabhupada uses a little bit of slighting language here. It's not so important, or he says nothing to do with it, or it's not necessary in these ways. So we see by the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and how he's delivered devotional service to us, this was also his focus. Not so much on, figuring out all the karmas and the jnanas of understanding the philosophy, but just engage in devotional service. Today we're celebrating Srila Prabhupada's departure for America, and next month we'll celebrate his arrival. And so that first year, what was it? He wasn't like trying to impress people with knowledge of ritual and knowledge of sacrifices and different austerities. No, he just said, please sit down and chant with me. Chant Hare Krishna, which is the process of devotion, one of those five most potent aspects of devotional service. Oh, and the one we forgot was, how could we forget? The deity worship. So that was the fifth, for those who were here early today. We were struggling with the five. So devotional service in itself is so perfect and so pure that it can purify one. And in the 11th canto, because this whole chapter is referring to, again and again, there'll be quotes from the Uddhava Gita from the 11th canto, and especially the chapter 20, which is on devotional service. And there's that verse, padasmanasya, right? What is the word? By performing devotional service to Krishna, three things are obtained. Bhakti, there's devotion. Para ishra anubhav, we actually start to feel the presence of Krishna in everything. And then virakti, or renunciation. These things come automatically as we engage in devotional service. Whereas, if you would just do your renunciation, we don't see people just steeped in renunciation, they all of a sudden turn to bhakti. No, they usually get frustrated and then they go down to some other activity for some enjoyment or some, or as Prabhupada says in this purport, generally they go and they end up in going into an impersonal concept of God. So, padasya, this focusing on devotion, all these other things come, and Krishna gives the example. And it's just like when we eat, we automatically, we're enjoying it. We satisfy some hankering for enjoyment. We become nourished with every morsel. We become nourished. And at the same time, we become satisfied in terms of our hunger is satisfied. And so as we perform devotional service, these things automatically are happening. So there is no need to separately try to figure out, okay, what is that renunciation or what is that penances or austerity or knowledge that we must do to help our devotion. And sometimes these are helpful. Sometimes he says, such processes may help a little, but are not necessary. So what are some ideas of some things that we do that may fall in these categories that may be helpful for us? I'm going to wake everybody up. Huh? Fasting, yes. We fasting. Now, we can look at that fasting in two ways. Sometimes we fast. We can say, I'm going to fast all day. It's Pandava Nirjal. I'm going to fast. And the easiest way to do that is to go to sleep. So you could say, okay, the austerity was there, but there was no result. So the idea of fasting is that we no longer have to prepare a meal, we don't have to clean up, we don't have to purchase and do all that. There's a lot of time saved there, not to go to take a longer nap, but to then engage in the service of Krishna. And so yesterday there was a fast, and next week we're going to have a fast all day, and it doesn't mean, okay, now we don't have to do anything. No, but now we have so much activity we can do, and we hear the lists of appreciation of devotees doing these wonderful activities. And so, yes, fasting is, it helps us, because then, okay, I have all this extra time to devote to Krishna. So that's one. Any other austerity that may help us? Rising early. Very good, yeah. But, you know, we can look on both sides of that too. There are a lot of people who get up and go to, you know, the operators of trains and things like that. They got to get up early too. But we get up early, and what do? We come together, we glorify Krishna, or we're focusing on the holy name, because that's the easiest time for us to focus while the mind is very fresh. Very good. Chanting 16 rounds every day is austerity. That's austerity, yes? Is it? For some of us, yes. Yes, so it may be austere. And so we are doing, but that's not austere where it's helpful. That is the bhakti, where it is, when we are chanting, we're actually engaging in one of the most powerful forms, one of the five most potent forms of devotion, and from that bhakti comes. And so you could say it's an austerity to do it, but we're actually engaged directly in devotion. So yeah, it couldn't be devotion. And also when we hear of the list of things that all the devotees are doing, when we hear like somebody spent 5 days in a hot kitchen, you know, that's austere, but it was all for Krishna. And you know, we have opportunities of this every day. Like this morning I was polishing silver, and now that I've gotten a little older, the joints, it's actually a very austere thing. But I'm polishing silver. I'm not like polishing a medallion of mine or something. I'm polishing silver to be used in the service of Krishna. So you could say it's austere, but it's also devotion. And it's, the austerity is there. I don't have to go to the gym and do the, you know, the grip, you know, because I've already done it. And it was there, all encased in devotion. Any other? What do you think? Simplicity. Where's it? Yeah. Yeah. Austerities of the mind. They can't hear you. Well, coming to the temple is austere, yes, for some. Thank you, Stita D, for putting us straight. Thank you. So that we have austerities and they help us. But then sometimes we, anavritam, they can also cover our devotion if we start putting too much focus on the austerities, and they'll cover devotion or the ritual. Sometimes those things also cover the devotion if we're too much focused on, you know, and you know, we know when we're crossing that line where we're just focused on the austerity or, and I always give this example at Krishna House because it's a very easy one to understand. When we're learning about deity worship, we have these particular items, you know, when we're offering an incense, we're offering, you know, with four to the feet, and there's two, and there's seven, whatever, you know, in different times of ISKCON, we've had different numbers there, but whatever, there's like some focus on the numbers, but it's not the numbers that we should be focusing on. The focus should be on, oh, Krishna, today I am offering this incense. It is made up of this type of unguents. There's some sandalwood, and there's some camphor, and there's this, and it's ground together. Oh, Krishna, I hope you enjoy this scent. And we're offering, that's the offering, that's the bhakti, but sometimes it gets covered by just 4, 2, 7. Okay, I'm done. Next one, 4, 2, 7. And it gets covered. So the ritual itself, or the action, or the focus on the, you know, the preciseness of it, will cover the devotion. So somehow or other, we have to try to break out of that and start instilling the devotion into those activities that we do every day, or occasional even. So those are some of the anukalyena, anavritam. Those are some of the coverings, jnana karma and anavritam. Devotional service is not covered by jnana and karma. Prabhupada is focusing that these things do not have anything to do with our eternal loving service of Krishna. So I brought something to kind of help us. And this is Bhaktivinoda. He has some prayers on, he cites different anarthas in his actions. And we can apply these very easily to actions that we may get. So he'll attack pretty much everything. He has 19 songs on this. And one of them is about austerity and penances, which this this verse today is focusing on. And so he criticizes it a little, but then he makes it so simple for us. And these are prayers to the mind. So this is like something you prep yourself when you're about to offer an artik. You have to prep ourselves. Not that just, okay, it's time, or I'm late, I got to get on there, and we just start counting numbers again. But deko mana brate jena nahi achana, that be careful, my dear mind. Don't become bewildered by mechanically following these activities, these vows that we do. Don't become bewildered by that, the mechanics of the activity of devotion. Don't let that become the anavritam that it covers the real devotion. And then he says something very heavy, and this is, of course, to himself, but this is an example for us. With an aim to please Radha and Krishna and make them favorably disposed to you, so he's kind of putting a spotlight, you know. Are we doing our service for something other than Krishna's pleasure? That we aim to do it, and I want to make sure everybody sees that I'm doing it, and then I want to be noticed for that. Or is it actual? Is it for them, for their pleasure purely? But that favorably disposed could be some sort of fame that we get from it, or whatever it could be. So he's speaking to his mind to get that favorable disposition from the deity worship. You accept various types of austere vows, and you consider that this will be conducive to your devotional service. So he kind of puts it, this is the topic here, that bhakti is beyond the influence of jnana and karma. It doesn't depend on it. And then he says, it's very, bhakta je sahaja tattva chittita rache sattvatar samriditava asha. Devotional service is actually very simple and easily, it's an understandable truth, for it is the soul's natural inborn tendency. So devotion is very natural. We've forgotten it. And so, yes, we do need to do some things, rising early, coming to the temple, chanting our 16 rounds. We have to do those things. Those seemingly are austere, but by those very activities, they are bhakti, parishan, umanubhava, bhaktir. They are giving rise. Krishna is helping us become clear. He's increasing our devotion. He's helping us see him and experiencing him in everything that we do. And the viraktir, the renunciation of everything else, is happening practically automatically. So it's a very wonderful thing. And he says, it's very easy. Your desire is to enrich that devotion, which is already existing in your heart. So that's our desire. That's why we come to the temple. That's why we read Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we associate with devotees. That's why we perform deity worship and acts of devotion to the deities, and we chant the holy name. This is why we're doing it. We want to enrich that which is already there. and uncover it. But we should be careful to consider that by undertaking unnecessarily difficult vows and austerities, you might destroy the simplicity which is the natural aspect of bhakti. Bhakti is very simple. And again, Prabhupada, how did he start the Krishna conscious movement? Sitting and again and again, oh, what is that part? The Tompkinson Square part. So he just sat there and we chanted for hours and hours. And then he gradually engaged us in devotional service. But it's very natural, it's very simple. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktamup. It's very easy. Bhaktu paritam. It is very powerful. It is filled. If it's done with devotion, it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to. But just the act of devotion. I there was a class I heard about a year and a half ago, but it was so powerful. It was Prabhupada talking about offering prasadam, and he took the voice of like a person offering. He said, oh, my dear sir, will you please accept this? I have made this for you. And such a wonderful, such a simple thing. That's all it is. I mean, yes, we can go, no, we can add a whole lot of mantras and things that it may not be our first language and we may not understand a thing that's being said. But this is what's the important, the simplicity. My dear Lord, oh, my dear sir, will you please accept this? I've made this for you. That's the simplicity that Bhaktivinoda is talking about. Then it gets a little crushing on austerity. The results that you get from hard labor on Krishna's behalf are extraordinary. So all these devotees who put on this festival, the extraordinary results. And sometimes we may be like, oh, I'm just exhausted. How come I didn't get enough help? But the extraordinary results of your service should be understood and should never be considered a commonplace. Never be considered that this activity is like everyone else's. You know, one devotee once approached Prabhupada, oh, this dealing, you know, this accounting is just too much for me. I can't deal. He said, oh, you're taking them. It's like Arjuna on the battlefield. It is very important. It's not common. It's not the same. You know, we're doing our accounting and the accountants are doing their accountants at Merrill Lynch or wherever, and they're making millions of them, and we're trying to satisfy the devotees and the temple communities and things by organization and things. It may be an austerity. It is an austerity. But there's a result. It's not commonplace. However, if such service turns into an unnecessary, difficult austerity, then it becomes an obstacle to devotion and will prevent us from getting the real benefit of devotion. So we also have to be very careful that we don't just, you know, and this may happen where, yes, this service is so important and I'm doing it and no one's helping me, I'm just going to keep doing it. And we see the burnout happens. So we have to be careful when we're getting close to there. Talk to our associates. Hey, how can we get some additional help in this area? So that's management, basic management. Then a very important verse. and this Prabhupada actually spoke about a lot in the very early days of Krishna consciousness, and again, and if you listen to the 1966 lectures over and over, you'll hear this over and over again. But Bhaktivinoda says, but just try to understand this. If one is worshipping Hari, there is no need for the labor of penances and austerities. If devotional service does not manifest as the result of some type of austerity, then the insignificant result of that austerity will never be valued by a true Vaishnava at any time. So Prabhupada doesn't quote this verse, but he quotes what this verse is referring to, which is from the Narada Pancharatra. Aradito yadi hari tapasta tatakim, naradito yadi hari tapasa tataskim. Antar bahir yadi hadis tapasata kantakim. Antar bahir yadi hadis tapasata tankim. That aradito yadi hadis. If we're worshipping Krishna, aradito yadi hadis, hadis is Krishna. Tapasata tankim. There is no need for austerity. No need for something else we have to add to it. And naradito yadi haris. And if we're not worshipping Krishna, then no matter what austerity performing, it gives nothing. And antar bahir, if we anta and bahi, if within and without we see Krishna, we're experiencing Krishna. What is it? Yes. Pashyanti sarvata, if from Krishna says, you know, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, we're never lost. He's never lost to us. We're never lost to him. So antar, if bahi, antar, in, within and without, if we see Krishna, then there's no need for austerity. But nantar, bahir, if we don't see Krishna within everything we do or externally, as well, then what good is the austerity? It's kind of like one of these quizzical statements from the Narada Pancharatra. Basically, it's saying, don't do austerity that's separate from devotion to Krishna. And then he sums it up, and I guess we're over time a little bit. From all this, just try to understand the deep inner significance of the principles of Vaishnava behavior. That is, according to the differences in receptivity of people, there are definite differences in their capacity for executing devotional service. So devotional service and and being engaged in devotional service is not cookie cutter. It is not like everybody does the same thing. But no, how do we engage each and every person in something that they particularly like? Because we've heard different statements that Krishna has created all the jivas because each and every jiva has something very unique and individual that gives Krishna pleasure. So find that thing. Find that thing that you, that we want to engage, that makes us focus on Krishna in a very devotional way. So that's quite a statement. And then Bhaktivinoda says, my humble submission is that you should just become a sahagrahi devotee and accept the essence of complete surrender to Krishna, thus being freed from and transcendental to all types of scriptural rules and regulations. So that's saranagati, and actually this whole section of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita starts with saranagata akinchana. There are two types of devotees. There are the saranagatas, those who are surrendered to Krishna, and then the akinchanas, those who have been released from material influences. They have no more material desires. Of those, the saranagatas are the best. So we could end here for any questions or comments. We have 10 minutes. Yes. Do we have? Yeah, we have.
Hare Krishna, thank you. In the process of doing devotional service, how do we avoid letting our false ego get in, where we're, where it's mixed, where we're wanting some sort of appreciation or recognition for our service?
Yeah, and I think that's natural. I think in every realm that we've been used to in our life, our first step, everybody's saying, oh, how wonderful, look at, and everybody's taking pictures of your first step, and your first meal, and your first everything, we're getting that recognition. So it's natural that we're going to want some recognition for the austerities and things that we do. So this, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is considered a weed of our devotion, and so the weeds should be looked at and they should be picked out. But how to do it? Yeah, that's. I think it comes with time. Sometimes that praise. You know, therefore, you know, we very publicly thank everybody for the activities they do for such a beautiful festival. But the person hearing it, they shouldn't like, it shouldn't be like this. It should be, oh, yes, it was just service to Krishna. And, you know, and if we're remiss on the list, then actually there's a very nice story a devotee tells, which kind of tells us what the benefit of that not being observed is. And he was close to Prabhupada, and he had given Prabhupada a ring. And Prabhupada was wearing the ring, and there was a small, it was probably during a massage or something, and the massager said, oh, Prabhupada. And the devotee who gave the ring was right there in the room. It was just the three of them. Oh, Prabhupada, you have a nice ring. Where did you get that from? And Prabhupada said, oh, somebody. Now this devotee who gave it, he holds that, like, this is the greatest. He didn't recognize me, but I know he knows who gave it to him. So our devotional service is certainly known by Krishna, but the value of it being known by everybody, I mean, that is an anartha, you could say, of some extent. But for him, he's living with this 50 years later of this wonderful memory he has of this exchange that Prabhupada certainly, now it's just between him and Prabhupada. And so, how to get there? Yeah, I'm not saying artificially we get there, that we go up, Mukhya, please don't mention my name ever but how do we do it? I think it naturally will come as we mature. Again, that's not the necessary ingredient for the devotion. I hope, you know, and maybe it is, but I hope that nobody did all that service yesterday to be mentioned in the list. We did it for Sri Balaram and for the deities and the other devotees. We did it for them. We didn't do it so that I could get on a list. And where was I in that list? How come I wasn't, you know, how do I get further up that list? That just becomes, again, something that is detriment to devotion. Is that? Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed most of the class. But thank you. we hear that devotional service is simple. Like Prabhupada started by chanting Hare Krishna. But it's hard to get to that stage where devotional service is simple because we have so much anarthas we have to overcome to get to that simplicity. You know, like you said, even worshiping the deities, we have to learn how many times to the feet, to the center, to the head. All these things have to be learned. So to actually get to the simplicity, it looked like we have to follow the process. Where Prabhupada said pure in habits, pure in mating, pure in defense, all this. This will bring us to the thing. But even to get to the purity of that, we have all these anarthas we have to overcome.
Yeah.
I mean, take, for example, just taking prasadam. We honor the prasadam at the temple, but when we cook something we like to offer to the deities. It's not that we say, oh, Krishna just like milk, sweets, and this, and we just cook that. We cook what we like, and we think it's nourishing for our body. So there's so many anarthas we have to overcome. But by following the process, hopefully we'll get there. But this simplicity, it sounds good, simple living, high thinking. I mean, if you have ever lived simply for a weekend or a few days, you notice how it's easy to chant your rungs and cook something simple and make. But we don't live our lives like that, especially here in America. I mean, I lived in India for so many years, and I see the complete difference. I mean, you know, we're simple, the whole consciousness is different. But here we have, like, in America, so many anarthas, even if you've been practicing for so many years, we get our rungs and we get everything. You have to worry about the car having gas, you have to worry about all this stuff. So there's so many things in between that we don't have to worry, Philip. That simple life, but that simple life is so difficult here in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's just a realization I've been having. Was it? I remember when I was in India, my daughter was small, and it was Ekadashi, the first Ekadashi. And so we wait for the prasadam to come out because my daughter was hungry. And so I said, well, get some prasadam. So one brahmachari saw me getting, you know, buying some maha, and he said, Mataji, today is Ekadashi. And I said, no, Prabhu. I didn't say it was for my daughter. Second one came, I said, Mataji, today you have to chant 50 rounds. I said, okay. And five of them came up to me, and you have to stay up all night. And I thought, they didn't notice I have a small child, but that's their expectation, you know, in that association. Yeah. They expect you to be like that. And I did do that before I left Vrindavan, where I, you know, fasted and stay up and all that. And it's such a taste, but somehow or other, you know, I don't get that all the time. I can't do that all the time.
Yeah, that was what Bhakti Vinod says. There are definite differences in the capacity for executing devotional service by the different receptivities of people. So yeah, we have to make accommodations. And yeah, the pressure of living in a tax country, a country that taxes you. I mean, it's so difficult to get the gas in the car, as you said. And yeah, we have to do. We have to engage in so much activity. And so, but what do we do? I mean, do we just say, ah, I'm just going to give up and go into the flow of that river, or we continue. But Krishna sees that endeavor also. If we're truly endeavoring to make space for him, to have time for his service, then wow, even how much more of a glorious action is that? Because sometimes we see, you know, in a temple, you know, we see so many different people coming up and giving an offering to the deity. We don't know the effect. And yesterday I came a little early there was a reading of Christian book all day, and there was a Sudam Vipra. So Sudam Vipra, I mean, how difficult was it for him to get chipped rice? It was actually so difficult that he had to beg the chipped rice. He begged the chipped rice, so he became a debtor to get the chipped rice, and then he gave it to Krishna. And then Krishna's looking at it, oh, there is no way I can pay him. I mean, because not only did he give everything he had, but he gave actually more than everything he had. He gave something he didn't have. So he gave everything, and so how can I pay back that? And that's, you know, of course, Krishna talks about that, about the Brajabasis as well, the residents of Vrindavan, that there is no way I can pay them back, but be happy yourself with the austerities and the results of your devotion. Be happy with that, because that's the real gift of those, of our struggling. Yeah, it is a struggle to be a devotee in the West, you know. Anywhere in the West, it's not easy. You don't go down the street and nobody says, yeah, you're Adi Shyam. Nobody says that. They say, what? They'll say something else to you. But, you know, Stididi, what would they say? You know?
We have to do this whole complication to lead a simple life.
Yeah, but that's what political life is. It takes intelligence to be simple. Any fool can make something simple complicated. It takes proactive intelligence to keep it simple.
The Vrajabasis don't have to have all this complication. They're born simple, they stay simple.
A lot of them do get complicated very fast.
Pardon?
It's not a physical spot.
Uh-oh, things are going off the rails here. I better end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, I got some notes on it.
I was thinking, you read from both?
Well, it started here, but this is everything. That's just the Bengali, but here's all the verse.
That's what I thought. It looked like it. I was thinking the parallel between, is a synonym of tapas, is austerity and penance. Mm. Penance, another synonym, would be atonement. But